Okay, so my name's Donna. I'm powerless over food and just about everything else in the whole damn universe. I hope you guys don't mind ladies using that term. I've been in the program for 44 years. And the way I'm going to enter into my story tonight is to tell you what's been going on the last few years. Well, I have to backtrack a little bit. I came out of a family. My father had been in Hong Kong during the World War II, and he was one of the POWs. So he came out of there 50 pounds under his weight, about a third of his weight. And because of that, it was mid-50s. He had PTSD, and also he became an alcoholic. And because I don't know if there's any veterans out there or people that live with veterans, but I have what is called second generation PTSD. And I eventually, after years in the program, I went and got special therapy for that. I truly believe in this program. It's just, I have a good vocabulary, but it's very hard to come up with the words that describe it, what it's done for me. What happened with me recently, about 10 years ago, the doctor noticed that I had a tremor in my head. And he said to me, "You've had that tremor for years. Why don't you love yourself enough to go and get it checked out?" Which was a real turning point for me and kind of part of the theme that I wanted to talk about. So at the time, my personal MD was, in my opinion, a real bossy blank, blank, blank. So I had to go right through her and stand up for myself. And I'd learned to try and people please and be passive and try to control people and to sacrifice myself for everybody for the greater good. So I did end up getting a specialist to look at me. They sent me for an MRI and they found an inch by an inch and a half tumor that's very close to my brain stem. It's not the type you can operate on. So eventually, after about 5-6 years, it started to grow, and they decided to do a biopsy. So if any of you use that saying, you don't have a hole in your head, I really do have a hole in my head. Then I was told it was a stage two. Now people tend to call it stage two instead of non-malignant because this one was growing really fast. So I got sent for 30 radiation sessions. I also had 4 months of chemotherapy. I'm sure there's people out there that can identify. So as long as the PTSD and the brain tumor, and then a few, maybe 6 months after I finished everything, I had a sponsee come over one night. We were having a chat. And the next thing I know, she was calling 911 because I had an absence seizure. And I lived by myself, so I didn't know at the time. And just for your information, at 5:30, my neighbor is going to open my door and just check to see that I'm still with it. Because sometimes it really feels like it's hard to connect, to stay here. And really, I want to stay here. And the thing is, through my history, a lot of my history has to do with anorexia. Over the years, I've been very frustrated when people say abstinence is the most important thing in their life, because for my anorexia, okay, I have to remember I'm just sharing my own story, but for my anorexia, the problem wasn't staying away from food, it was eating healthy food and quality. I remember one time in my early years in program, I mean, it was better than being out there. But there were times when I would deprive myself. I can remember going to a grocery store and thinking, oh, I don't deserve to have the potatoes that are full price. So I bought myself some markdown ones with blights in them and Mars. And I said to myself at the time, I had enough clarity to say, do you want to be an old lady and still be doing this? Well, I'll tell you one thing. I guess in some ways I'm an old lady, but I'm not doing it anymore. With the brain tumor, I got the stuffing kicked out of me one too many times. So I tried to go back to work because just before I was treated for the tumor, I started to go downhill with forgetting things and stuff like that. And they thought I was a destructive sort of employee. I worked for government and I was made an example of. So then when the time came to go and get the treatment for it, I tried to get back in because I figured I had something to prove. And that's probably part of why I'm an anorexic too, is because I really thought I had to prove that I belonged here. I've been here 44 years. I mean, I couldn't possibly have gotten every single part of the program wrong. But it's very real to me sometimes. And one of the reasons why I'm mentioning the anorexic part of it is because I heard some woman ask the speaker last week about anorexia. And I can tell you that there is a way out. I have a hard time defining abstinence for an anorexic, and I'm a binger on certain things. But one of the things that is really important to me is to give myself the best quality food in reasonable amounts and not eat junk. And because of that, my brain tumor for the last 5 years hasn't grown. I think that and the principles of the program have really helped me stay alive. I'm pretty sure that most of you have had similar experiences. One of the things that came up for me when the pandemic started, I was having a horrible time, and I was having a super panic attack. This was about a year ago and a half ago, and I was going into a spin, and it occurred to me, I'm sure I probably asked for my higher power's help, because I started to think of those who've driven in snow, how when you drive in snow and you slip, you don't turn into the slip, you turn out of it. And that was a real spiritual awakening for me. So many of the experiences that I have had in this program are so spiritual and life-changing. One thing that I'm starting to get, and one of the things that I'm so grateful for, is to be able to let go of things and really believe that my higher power is going to look after it. So when I talked to Joe about this meeting, I said step 6 and step 7, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character and humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. And even the results of them. So whatever I got out of thinking that I had to be perfect, I guess with me, I've had to find different ways. One lady in one of the meetings talked about going to any links. I have a private one. Hopefully, those that are listening won't mind, but I've hijacked the phrase by any means necessary. Somebody will probably recognize where that comes from. But for me, if it means being kind to myself and caring for myself, then that's what I'm going to do. And I never thought I was worth all this trouble, but I'm worth good food. I'm worth good thoughts. I'm worth healthy relationships. I'm worth all of that. And in my case, it was a slow process. First, it was like my abstinence would be staying away from the big C word. There's a couple of big C words, but that's not even on the table. Then was the sugar word. And then in my case, I was using so much sugar substitute that someone pointed out to me that sugar substitute can give you cancer. Or they said they will give you. Rats get cancer when they give it to them. And I said, I'm not a rat. But one day I was ready to let go of it. And it was after a meeting I finally became willing. And I must have had over 100 little of those tiny packages in a big box. And I threw it in the garbage with members in the program watching it. Then my craving for sugar started to go away. That was wonderful. There's things that I don't eat now. Like there's a lot of people that don't go for flour. For me, flour, milk products, grains. I was tested for muscle strength testing, which is more of a holistic way. But apparently I was supposed to have a whole pile of allergies. And I think in a way I do, but my throat doesn't swell up. So the doctors say, no, you don't have allergies. I've had that before with doctors. One doctor, I told him I was anorexic, and he said, no, you've got anorexic tendencies. And it's semantics. It's just like, and of course, I would get really annoyed by it. And that's another part level of my program. You know, the physical part, the physical allergy, the mental obsession. And a lot of my mental obsession is around what people think of me or what I think of them. I'm working this out as I go. But their opinion of me, if they disagree with me, I get really mad. And now I'm starting to take more and more responsibility for me and to take action and do what I have to do. Today, before I was ready to join the meeting, I did ask my neighbor to check in because I don't want to take a chance just in case that I space out, which I doubt is going to happen now. Another thing is I put my feet up. I listened to music, made sure I had a proper lunch. I took an extra piece of my medication. And I'll keep doing that. And one of the big things I have to do, and this is where the abstinence I discovered, because there's so many levels. If somebody asked me how long I've been abstinent, and one lady in our group here likes to say she's been abstinent 20 years, and my perfectionist brain tends to think of that as 100% every single second. And I haven't been able to let go of that one yet, so I guess I'll need to do some writing. Now, I'm going to circle back. Please forgive me if I go back and forth in that. Well, that I do reading, and I do have a couple of things that I would recommend if people would like to read them. In the big book, there's a story called The Man Who Mastered Fear, because a lot of my life has been about fear. And just slowly, inch by inch, he slowly moved along. Another one is for the people with anorexia. Keep Loving Me. It's page 246 of the Lifeline Sampler. There's another one in the Lifeline Sampler that I read quite often. It's The Second Miracle. It's the one that talks about when I can't control other people. Feel powerless. I pray, thanking the higher power that the higher power is in connection with that person and is there when they need them. Now, part of my routine, in the morning, I have to take seizure medication. So in the morning, all this stuff wears off. And about 5:30, I'm feeling a little antsy. And I have to say, okay, I'm powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. And you take it, higher power, you take it. Then slowly the morning starts, and then it's time to take my pills. I have my bath. I read my 2 for today guides. I usually have something else on the go. Occasionally I have outside books that are on specific steps. The one that I found on step 6 and 7 I'm slowly moving through that. And when it comes to my higher power, I'm not exactly an atheist, but I believe in good, orderly direction. It's been proven to me so many times. It's a wonder, it really is. things like having my computer conk out at a particularly important moment, or having a chat with somebody on the phone. The higher powers got quite a sense of humor. And it takes me a little while, but generally I start to enjoy it after a while, and I can make fun of myself. I mean, not city, you know? Whoa. It's kind of fun to be a little eccentric. And I've been told that I have a really great smile, and I do have a very good sense of humor. It's just, I get preoccupied. Now, here's another part of it. Along with literature, and I like talking to people, I know I haven't put my phone out yet because I'm working some stuff out, but I call my co-members in town. I do writing an awful lot, and I guess I would call it journaling. I've even been known, I'm an amateur artist, and I draw pictures to let go of things. And they're still in my God door. I mean, I had a God box, but it wasn't big enough. So I've got a God drawer. It's about, the size of a file box, maybe. And my computer, my emails have a God drawer folder. My, all the material I've saved has a God drawer folder. So I write, I put it in the God drawer, and for some reason that's so much easier to put it there, leave it there. And then my secret is I take it when it's ready and I go and I shred it. It's very therapeutic. I really enjoy doing that. It's when I'm ready. And that's the type of job I had for many years. I'm a specialist in records management and also by training a teacher librarian. So books, shredders, God boxes. And I was told one day, like, I do go on little rants from time to time. And it's, I remember during one of them, one of my friends, pretty soon you're going to need that whole room to have as a God room, where you put all the people you don't like in that room as a God, instead of a God box, you know, which is kind of silly, but it works. And that's another thing. I did talk to people one time. If it's silly, I'm still willing to try it. I remember when I was still eating sugar and chocolate. I'm sorry, I said the C word. I had this special dessert that was supposed to be diet. And I couldn't stop chugging them. So one day somebody talked about getting that dessert, putting a chair on top of your table, putting the dessert on top of your table and going, oh, higher, and getting on my knees and going, oh, power greater than myself. And darned if that didn't work. So it's funny, like one of the readings in the past few days has been, there's no two dumb people in for this program, but there are some people that are too smart. So give it a try. And that is sort of like getting back. Yeah, I'm fine.
You're good?
Yep. Okay. Thanks. That was my neighbor. So asking for help is not easy for me. I thought I had it when my sponsor would accept my calls, and my sponsor passed away at the age of 91 last year. I hadn't talked to her very much for quite a few years, but this lady had something that I really wanted. And goodness gracious, it wasn't weight loss. It was serenity. This lady, for most of my time in the 44 years that I knew her, she was always there in some way. She was quite overweight, had a really hard time picking up the phone and all the other stuff, but she had time for me. When I would panic, and I would panic like 3 times a day, I'd be calling her up. She was so patient with that. Unfortunately, I can't handle that. She did. She had whatever she had. She sure shared it with me. And she gave me something. I said to her once, "I think you saved my life." And she said, "No, maybe I saved your sanity, you know." And that's what we all have for each other. We can do that. There's times when I get really frustrated because these people don't get me. Oh, I'm so advanced, and I'm trying to make fun of myself. The fact of the matter is that I'm in a space, and there are some people that have known me for 40 years. I have a friend who's 85. She's been in the program for 40 years. And she says, like that woman, when I go to see her at the meeting, she's taken off like a rocket. She sponsors about 7 or 8 people a day. And I don't know how she does it, but, and the things she said are just priceless. And believe it, well, you might believe this. I told you what I'm like. For years, I used to think she was, I didn't think much of her. I used to have quite a few personality problems with her. Nowadays, we love each other to bits. We're family. We've been together for 40 years. I remember her husband. I've never been married. I remember I was with her when her son died, when her grandson died. She was there when my dad died. All these other things. The richness of my life and the richness of the courage that I've been given because of this program and sticking at it, even if it's not a spectacular progress one day at a time, but when it adds up, is beyond my wildest dreams. And it's not expectations. It's just like, good. Now this has happened, but it's okay to let go of good stuff. The smell is not so good stuff. So, in honor of all those people that have gone before, and I sure hope a few of them that I've loved and are now passed over, because one of my co-members was in such a bad case with cancer last year, she decided that she needed to take assisted death. It's been almost a year and I still miss her because I love that woman and I still do. And all of you out there, I don't really know you, And because of what's going on with me, my multiple perfect storm of whatever, it'll take me a while. But somehow or another, we're all friends. I got that really quickly when I came in early this morning or today. Sorry, there you go. So that's about it. I think I'll conclude with that. Keep coming back, it works. And I'll do my best to answer any questions if they're pretty brief. But if I say, I don't think I can today, I will. So thank you very much. And I really appreciate that you're out there. One of these days when I get the damn passport back, I'll have to come visit you, Beth. You might be in for a little more than you can handle.
Thank you so much, Donna, for the fabulous share. What a blessing that was for us this evening.
Well, it was a blessing for me, too, because I sure learned a lot working through it, working with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they are, their gifts, but they're not always obvious.
Yeah, absolutely. So if anybody has any questions for Donna, or if you'd like to just share this evening, I've allowed the unmuting and the turning cameras back on.
I would love Donna's contact information.
I will give you my email address.
Great.
Now it's changed just recently. The computer guy switched me over without, well, you know how they are, they go, oh, yeah, it's easy. Anyways, it's astronautdonna@outlook.com.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Now, if it's okay for me to reply to you slowly, because a lot of times I have to prioritize what I can handle without going.
Very good.
It's a good life, though. It really is. And I would like to say, you know, there's a way. There certainly is a way.
So I have a question. Did you always want to be an astronaut?
Oh, yeah. I had an astronaut doll costume when I was 11. Oh. I've been down to Kennedy Space Center. And that was probably the happiest day of my life. I do have a picture of me and one of the helmets in one of the centers. And I saw one of the Saturn V's.
Wow.
It was in one of those rooms. It was massive. And then it was just my sister went with me because she used to vacation down in Florida. And she said she had to pick up after me all day because I was like a kid. We went to one of the other places and they had a weightless sort of boom. So there I was doing the moonwalk, like Michael Jackson's moonwalk.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had one of the old helmets, not the Gemini ones, but maybe the earlier ones. And there's a picture of me with that.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you. How about another question for Donna? Margo?
Hi, Margo. Grateful to recovering from over and under eating. Forgive me, group. I'm getting over a cold. Thank you all who are here doing service. Donna, oh my goodness, I got so much out of your share. Remarkable, you know, remarkable. I don't know if it was me, but I did ask a question regarding the anorexia last week. I am recovering from both obesity and anorexia. And what I find that you said higher power has a sense of humor. You're right next to me on my screen and you're from Vancouver, excuse me, you're from Victoria, British Columbia. And my twin sister's name is Victoria. So I thought higher power is trying to tell me something because we are estranged. But getting back to your recovery, having lived both sides of this disease, I have, not all of us have, some of us have, but the fact that you were stricken with your malady, you know, after you already had recovery, you know, and, you know, when people say it's hard, you know, regular, when you have all your health, you know, we all have a, you know, we all have this as a problem, as far as we have a, we have an addiction we have to arrest. Mm-hmm. But given your, you know, what was put in front of you on your path, that you are still working such an amazing program, no matter what. I wrote it down. You did have that quote. I underlined it. I can't, by any means, you know, by any means, we go to any length, by any means. And that just came through. And I love that people are checking in on you. You have put people in your path to help you. We don't do it alone. We're a we program, not a me program. Yes. And that's what's incredible. And you really emphasized in your recovery with your other ailment how much we all need each other. Absolutely. And that you have an incredible higher power with a sense of humor. We have to keep laughing, because if we don't, what's the alternative? And you do have a beautiful smile. I'm seeing it right now. And when your neighbor came in to check, I saw it. So your whole face is glowing right now. So I'm going to stop talking, but thank you so much. I just want to know with the anorexia, one last thing. was it like a period of time? I mean, mine was so out of control. I needed more professional a situation that I'll talk about at some point. But did you, I mean, how far down were you stricken with the other side of the disease?
Well, I'll tell you, the first time I went anorexic was, I do think this is really important, so I'm going to elaborate some. I was 200 pounds, I think, when I was 15. And my mother carts me off to the doctor, and they tell me they're putting me on the diet. So there was a certain amount of anger in me. Well, I'm not acceptable. I really didn't get that they were caring. So I showed them. And I went on a starvation diet. That time, I'd have maybe 250 calories a night. And when I showed up at the doctor's the next time, I had dropped about 30 pounds. And I remember him sitting beside me. He usually didn't. He used to sit across from me, and he goes, "How'd she do it?" And I said, "Oh, well, you know, it was my little secret, right?" But I will say that with the anorexia stuff, and thank you for bringing it up, because I have noticed that when I would starve myself, I may be able to do it for a couple of months, but then I crack. And I used to do that. It was kind of like I'd be the perfect little abstainer, and then the end of the week, the weekend, I'd binge like my face off. And it happened many times. Like, my mother was in the program early on, and then she died of cancer. And my sponsor said she knew I was going to, something was going to happen. That's a good 42 years ago. Then whenever something that would happen, like I would act out. If anyone knows, I'm pretty smart, I guess you know what acting out is, but I would act out with my anorexia quite a few times. When mother was getting really sick, that the second time I started becoming anorexic, and it kind of shifted the focus from her being sick to her worrying about me being sick. And in my opinion, and it's just a personal opinion, it seems to me it's a roundabout way of striking back at people. Like, if I don't have the courage or the strength to hit you, I'm going to hurt myself instead. And I've had that happen. I've had episodes. I can't say it's completely over. The last thing that happened, and I haven't been able to figure out, when I had my radiation and chemo, I dropped 20 pounds, and I haven't been able to put it back on. I finally had to say, well, okay, you're just going to have to let it be. But it is a real important priority for me to get good quality food, nourishing, and enough. And that's generally when I start ranting about other people and abstinence. And abstinence can be turning away from anything that's not good for me, like emotional abstinence, spiritual abstinence, whatever, and turning towards good stuff. And that, like I said, it's a very important part of this program. I just wish we could find another way to reword it.
Thank you.
Interesting you should say that, Donna. I was at World Service a couple of years ago, and we did actually reword it for exactly the type of diversity that you refer to. So abstinence is now the action of refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors while working towards or maintaining a healthy body weight. Spiritual, emotional, and physical recovery is achieved through living and working the OA 12-step program. So I think those folks up at World Service heard you, and certainly
one
thing,
want to be as inclusive as possible.
You come to the program, and this is the thing, my higher power is always giving me new insights. At a meeting a week ago, I shared on abstinence, and I said, first you have abstinence to lose weight, then you have abstinence to look after your body better, and then you have abstinence to look after your soul or your emotions better. And eventually, to me, I call it clean food, clean living, clean ideas. So
it's a three-legged stool and a three-part disease that we all share.